You're listening to the premiere episode of Schmimcast, a behind-the-scenes look at improv Schmimprov, Orange County's most popular late-night improv comedy show, from the perspective of its cast members and creators. For the latest episodes of Schmimcast, please visit www.schmimcast.com. To email us with your questions, comments, and requests, please shoot an email to
schmimcast@AOL.com.
You can also hit us up on Twitter at the call sign
Schmimcast.
That's twitter.com/Schmimcast. If for some strange reason you're wondering how to spell Schmimcast, it's Schmimcast. And of course, you can always come and see Improv Schmimprov every Friday and Saturday night at 11 p.m. at the Maverick Theater in Fullerton, California. For information on upcoming shows, please visit www.improvschmimprov.com. I'm not going to help you spell that. And now, the show must go. So on with the show.
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Here we are, Nick McGee and Jamie Scheel.
Hello.
We are recording our first ever improv podcast out of the illustrious Ambassador Inn here in Fullerton, California.
They have a fountain in the front that has no water in it. That's how fancy they are. They built a fountain and then said, we don't even need to put water into this.
That's how cool the place
is. That's how cool the place
is. They're like, screw you guys in Vegas with all your fancy fountains.
That's having all the power and using none of it. They do not need any of that.
We don't. Because this is Fullerton, and we are classy people.
Yes.
So
ambassadors, if you will. Ambassadors to the world.
Ambassadors to the world. Much like our podcast, where we're ambassadors of improv to the world. This is the first ever, so it's kind of a work in progress.
Well, I mean, the intro that you worked up, that was the okay.
That was
good. It's a good start.
I'm working on it. It took a long time to write that. Knock it.
Yeah. No, I'm not knocking. I complimented it. I swear all the words I said were compliment words.
They were. Anyway, we are two members of Improv Schmimprov, which is a improv comedy team doing comedy sports style improv.
Whose line is it anyway?
Yes, exactly. And we've been doing that here in Orange County for how long? Since like 03, right?
I think the group got together in 2002, but we've been performing publicly since 2003.
That's right. They made us like rehearse in a living room for a year.
Yes, they made us. They being us made us rehearse in a living room.
And then we were unleashed onto the world in 2003. We've had ups and downs since then, and this is sort of a new thing. I've done a radio show before, but it was much different than a podcast, I would say, in that I didn't talk that much. I just played a lot of music.
I did the announcements in grade 8.
Did you really?
Yeah, well, I was head boy. And,
you were head boy?
Yeah, so I got to do the announcements. So this is like a long announcement.
But hopefully it's an entertaining one and informative.
Hopefully. I know I just informed everybody.
You sure as hell did.
Thank you.
So first of all, I guess we should probably talk about what the hell we're doing. The purpose of our podcast here, or the 5 points of this podcast, are to talk about improv in general. I guess we're more experts on the comedy sports side, not the long form, although
right.
Maybe Jamie has done some of that.
A little bit.
I've done a little bit of character improv, which isn't the run to the dick and fart jokes fast type improv, but not really
improv, like serious improv stuff?
It can be, yeah. You know, you get that from acting classes, and you get that
from
on-camera acting classes, off-camera acting classes, all kinds of stuff like that. So we want to talk about improv. We want to talk about the history of Schmimprov, that is Improv Schmimprov, the comedy group we're in. Highlight Schmimprovers such as myself and Jamie and any other Improv Schmimprov performer that wants to come and talk about themselves, talk about improv, talk about their lives and their failures, as well as their
successes. Their lives and their failures.
Because failure is interesting. It's dramatic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Expose the world to Improv Schmimprov and take over the world.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the 5 points.
I mean, that's what Hitler got wrong. He had the first four, and then he just missed the...
Yeah, he just jumped right into the let's conquer the world.
Yeah. He just skipped over those.
Yep. So take that, Hitler.
Yeah.
We've got a plan.
Take that, Hitler.
I have a DVD. I just saw the title today. It's called How Hitler Lost the War. So,
oh, yeah.
If you want to, after this, Jamie, we can watch that.
Well, why don't we just watch it now?
Probably be more productive than what we're doing.
I mean, everybody wants to hear how Hitler won the war, and we can just kind of describe what we see.
No, how he lost the war.
Oh, how he lost it. I'm sorry. What? Hitler lost?
He did.
Oh, frig. Oh, no. Oh, those Christmas cards I sent out need to be changed now.
It's a good thing. I'm telling you, it's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then another thing we'll do later just to keep things fun is I've got a bunch of clips from the show. They're audio clips, and I picked games that were basically more informative as far as the language instead of seeing something visually. So there are a lot of one-liner type games where you can get the joke without having to see what's going on. So it'll be like a little bit of almost like a stand-up one-liner deal. Some of the games are actually even more involved than that. But I think they'll translate okay as far as a podcast goes. Let's see, what are we gonna name this? I don't know. Like I don't do you have any thoughts? Like the only thing that came to my mind was a Schmimcast, which in my mind is what I've been calling it, just to call it something. But
well, I mean, everything we have to name regarding Schmimprov is Schm,
yeah,
you know, Schm something, true. Or like
Schmimpod.
Podcast Schmodcast is a little long.
Podcast Schmodcast.
It's a little long, though, you know. Schmodcast is a shorter version
something
of that.
We can't call it Schmodcast because there's already a Schmodcast.
Oh,
sort
okay.
Of. Well, there's no Schm, it's a Smod. But like a Schmimpod or.
Schmimpod.
A pod full of Schmim.
Pod full of Schmim.
That's too long.
Cute. Cute, Nick.
Yeah, real cute. Yeah.
Yeah. What about like Fighting Bear Cast? Bear. Everyone's like Fighting Bears, and
bear
they listen.
Cast. Bear pods.
Bear pods.
Yeah.
Well, like,
we'll work on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, soon the name will be universal once the world is taken over. So.
That's true. That's true. So
yeah.
Hopefully, it's a good one that people.
Maybe we should just go ahead and call this call it Leader.
Leader.
Yeah. So then everyone will just be able to refer to it.
Dictator.
Dictator. Yeah.
Dick cast.
Dildo cast.
Dildo
tater cast.
Dildo taters.
Yeah, dildo taters.
Oh, there we go. Dildo taters.
I don't actually want to call it that. I was just saying.
It sounds
that.
Like a food, like a side dish.
Some dildo taters? Oh, okay, sir. It's like potatoes, but they're not the real thing.
Please, sir, can I have some more dildo taters?
Dildo taters.
A delicious snack.
Put one right in my mouth. Thank you.
Oh shit. All right. Well, I think we're off to a good start.
Oh, yes. We've named it.
We've named
Dildo
it.
Taters Dildo so taters. Far, yeah. Maybe that can be a segment with everybody who comes in is just try to rename it after Dildo Taters, yeah.
We'll never have a name for it. Let's go back because we talked about of how Improv Schmimprov sort of started. From my perspective, I started with improv in college. Our co-founders started a group called Live Nude People, which I joined maybe a year after they started it, and did that for like one semester, and then I was like, I want to be an actor, and so like,
I'm too good for this.
There was a lot of things going on in my life, so I enjoyed it when for the semester that it was, and had a lot of fun doing it, but then I took a step back and focused on doing shows because I really just wanted to be an actor, I guess, mainly, and thought that was more important or whatever, and then. And I was like, it was sort of nerve-wracking too. And like, I've gone through phases for sure where I get nervous doing it before improv, even doing improv. Right now I'm in a more comfortable zone, but I kind of go in and out of it. So there's always been a little bit of that nervous factor going on for me. I mean, some people it's just natural. They don't, you know, it doesn't even faze them. And then after I graduated, our co-founders, Nate and Shaggy and Lindsay
and Jacob.
They did it for like 4 years in college, like every semester. And then once they got out of the college, they're like, we want to do more, which if we have Nate on, he can probably give more detail on that. I know that that's kind of where Jamie comes in to the picture. I know that they were doing a show up in LA. Maybe you can like shed some light on that, because I wasn't really involved with it at that point.
Oh, that's not them. That was just a show Nate and I were in.
Was this the Sideliners?
Yeah, the Sideliners.
But didn't,
yeah.
Didn't the guy who kind of helped start the Live Nude People also?
Well, he started. Yeah, he started a group, LNP LA.
That's right. So he started LNP.
But then there were some of us who were like, we want to start our own group. Yeah. So we did, but then one of us left. So then we said, hey, Nate, do you want to be in this improv group? And he said, sure. So then we did some shows, and then it was great. That group was great because at rehearsal, the first 30 minutes were dedicated to venting because everybody always showed up with so much like drama going on that we
was
needed
this drama from the other group.
No, it was
just drama in general.
Yeah, like they were. It was such a successful group of people that we needed to spend the first 30 minutes talking about how upset we were and at what. Or some of us just listened, but yeah. So then that actually did. I mean, we had some very good shows, very very funny people.
Mm-hmm.
Then we
no,
stopped.
This was Sideliners, right?
That was Sideliners. Yeah.
Was it hard to get an audience in LA?
Yes, getting an audience in LA.
I thought that was part of the problem. Or felt like it.
Yeah, we did. We did a couple big shows at the Stella Adler.
Nice.
And then we Stella Adler. then we did like a 4-week run, I want to say, at a theater in North Hollywood, the North Hollywood Theater District. And, like, the turnout was okay and stuff, but not great. So then,
did you live up there at that time?
Yes, I lived in. No, I lived in Orange County.
Oh, so at that time you lived in Orange? Because I was going to say, like, think. I know Nate lived in Orange County.
Yeah, yeah.
And then maybe, was Lindsay part of it at that point?
No.
It was just mainly you and Nate and then
other
LA people.
Yeah.
Aha.
Yes.
So you met Nate at
the Live Nude People, Los Angeles.
LA, yeah. Which you auditioned for? Or,
yes.
Okay. Before all that, where was your start with improv? Where did you get the bug?
Well, I caught the bug. in Canada, which is good. It's good to just catch.
That's right. Jamie's from Canada.
Yeah, that's right. Yay. That. It was actually, well, you know, being hilarious my entire life was.
That's where the bug began.
That's right? Where it began when I was born. I was the bug.
Do you have like a funny family? Like, are your parents funny? Your dad?
Yeah, I think they're funny. My dad's side of the family has like a loud humor, and then my mom's side has a dry humor. particularly, I was at a track meet. This is the official. The official start of everything, yeah, like a, you know, like a track and field.
How old were you?
I was in ninth grade, as it were. I decided to join the track team because I could run like Forrest Gump, and when I did that, I was fast, and when I didn't do it, I was slow. And we were getting some French fries from a chip truck. We have these trucks that sell French fries. The industrious people down here might call them roach coaches, but in Canada, they're held in such high regard, and there was a thing on it, and it said fresh cut potatoes, so then I started saying fresh cut potatoes. And there was this girl in front of me, and she turns around, and I'm like, would you like some fresh cut potatoes? And I just kept talking to her.
And talking about the fresh cut potatoes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you talk about when you're talking to I mean, they hadn't invented dildo taters by then, so I could only talk about fresh cut potatoes. So I'm talking to her, and she's very cute, right? And
this is why you were talking to her.
Yeah, and then she's like, hey, you should come over and talk to our school. So then I went to go talk to the people from Smith Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know anything about Smith Falls, but they're pretty rustic people. It's a big city, but you make fun of it.
Were you from exactly?
I was going to Almont High School. Almont.
Which is in Almont?
That is in Almont, yes. Okay. But I was living in Pakenham, which is 15 minutes away from Almont.
Oh man, that sounds so much like Pakistan.
I know.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we have nuclear technology. And Osama is hiding in Pakenham. It's a 200-person town in Canada. That's what the news gets mispronounces it every time.
The CIA doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. Oof. So I was talking to their school, and then my school's like, hey, why do you always go over there? Why don't you come talk to us? And then so I started, quote, entertaining, unquote, our school, and then I
so
did.
So you just were like a talker. You were like an improv talker.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't even like a show.
Didn't know. It was just at like a track meet. So
yeah.
So like when we won, I would would do a victory lap for everybody, and like I could barely run. It's a 400 meter track, and like I could barely do it. But I'd get like a javelin and put one of our jerseys on it as a flag and wave it around. And yeah, it was fun. I did hurdles incidentally, and at the end of every race, my knees were very bloody. It's like, why bother, you know, going over the hurdles when you just knock them over with your knees as you're doing it? But that's fine. So then I did the year end assembly. I was in grade 9 or 9th grade. And
you did like a stand up thing?
Yeah, I did 17 minutes of stand up, like Sweet. Just a minor niner in front of the whole school. And,
nice.
Got a nice standing ovation, and then I thought, oh, this is fun. So
this was like the comedy. This was growing.
It was just, yeah, it was like.
When you were in Canada, were you in any groups or?
No, I tried putting together improv league for schools in my area. I'd never heard of comedy sports before, but in hindsight, that's what it would have been like.
When did you move here, and why? Like, what was the, you know, reason behind it?
Well,
you just want to get away from your parents?
No. I was 17, and I was in the second week of the second semester of grade 12. So mm-hmm. I was really this close to graduating high school.
Yeah.
And I had some friends moving from Colorado, and they said, hey, if you want to move to Los Angeles, you can come down. And I was like, great. Mm-hmm. So I...
So they invited you to live with them, basically?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, who doesn't invite me to live with them, right? So,
not many.
No. I mean, I get the call every day. Hey, do you want to...
It's good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm such a helpful asset around the house because I give you a reason to clean. So I came down. I figured out a way with my teachers to finish, you know, high school. I was in computers, yearbook, and English. So, you know, mm-hmm. just it was not very hard. So I got down here and I emailed all my teachers and none of them responded. And I was like, yes, no school. Because what kind of 17-year-old is going to be harassing his teachers for schoolwork?
Right. Right.
Not this one.
Right, right. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
So they stopped giving you schoolwork.
Yes. And then I...
And you were like, oh, I guess I can leave.
Well, and then my report card came and my mom got it and I got 5% in computers and 0 in English and 0 in yearbook. So then... Yeah, pretty good, huh?
5% in computers.
I thought that was
pretty
good.
Percentages? Well, I guess that's the same. They still give A's and grades and whatnot. But
no, they give percentages.
Give percentages.
Yeah, and then you think to yourself, boy, this percentage is accurate, but if I want to make it less accurate, then I can just degrade it to a letter grade. So yeah, so then I was here, and with the goal in mind of being kind of like doing stand-up and stuff,
How did you find that like experience?
I mean, you have to work so hard.
It's difficult, huh? Yeah,
and I didn't at all. To be successful, you need to do like a minimum of 2 shows every night.
Oh my God.
I mean, and, you know, one side of the city to the other, and this is a fairly large city. So I instead opted to read the 4 Harry Potters and the entire Chronicles of Narnia.
Right.
I read those 7 books in only a week.
Wow.
I know, right? They're like, very thin books.
Yeah. Well, the Narnia ones are pretty thin.
Yeah, I know. I read Harry Potter. It took a lot longer than
I never read that Narnia. I read a little bit of it, and then I was like, I don't understand.
Oh.
Why is there a lion? I was too young.
Was there a lion? Yeah.
I was like, what is the deal with the lion?
So you're like, if you go to Africa, you're like, I don't understand. Why is there a lion?
But he was talking and shit. Like, gotcha. I don't know. Like, it was just, it kind of...
So like, when you were a kid, you only watched real movies that fully reflected reality.
Like Rain Man and, you know, stuff like that.
Not like a talking animal movie, because...
No. What? I don't understand. The animals can't talk.
Why is the animal talking?
Wait a minute. Machine is from the future. I don't get it. Why is that?
It didn't. Yeah, like
put Waiting for Godot on. I am now rereading Harry Potter's.
Good. Trying to make sure to get all the details that the movies left out.
Yeah. Well, and they're good. You know, I try to read at a level of 13-year-old boy normally, but I did read the Twilight series, so as to fulfill the 13-year-old girl aspect of it too. So I'm very well read.
You're a read man.
Yeah.
I bet you've read much more than I have. Like, well, I buy a lot of books and I don't read them.
Well, I mean, that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
You need to buy the books. You don't need to read them.
So, okay. So you read tons of books. Shirked your goal of becoming a stand-up comedian by doing so.
When you realize that becoming rich and famous, you know, what are your odds, right? They're not that high. But if your goal then is to not become rich and famous, you can be attaining your goal on a daily basis.
By reading.
Every day you can be better at not being rich and famous. Every day you can be stronger and faster and everything.
Got it. We should call this show Lifestyles of the Not Rich and Not Famous.
I don't know if that's as good as Dildo Taters. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that people won't get it if we call it Lifestyles of the Not Rich and Famous. They're not gonna understand.
Yeah, the Dildo Taters has a certain ring to it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it sure does. But I did that. Then I took an acting class.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, coming from someone who kind of, like, just loves acting, like, I get excited when someone's like, I took an acting class. I'm like, yeah, good for you!
Yeah. I mean, you know how well it worked for me.
You're a good actor. What are you talking about? Jamie. I don't think I've ever seen you do anything, like, necessarily serious.
Yeah.
But even the stuff you do in our show, our stage show of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, you're funny. You're very funny, but it comes from a very grounded kind of place, which, you know, a lot of actors or people trying to act sort of try to achieve. But you have that. Like, you're able to do that very well. I mean, you're not busting out, like, monologues where you're breaking down and crying or anything that. But
sure not.
But you have something that a lot of people probably wish they could have, I think, you know, which is you should be proud of, you know?
Yeah, well, Nick is just actually mirroring myself in his image, by the way. Nick is the one who's fantastic, both at the comedy and the drama.
I don't know. But I try.
Well, I do. And he can sing. You name it. This is a triple threat. He can model, he can sing, and he can act.
I can model.
And model. And if you say he can't do any either of those three things, then he can dance. You can just fill that void with dance.
That's right.
A quadruple threat.
Ah, shit. And I play Guitar Hero sometimes, too.
Wow, man. And a video game
that's
threat.
That's a quintuple threat or something.
Yeah, no, that's good. So before that, I think I auditioned for this group.
Okay.
And, you know, I have no formal improv training. Mm-hmm. And I went, and I did awful, just awful. Mm-hmm. And then they called me for a callback, which was really weird because...
it's because you're funny.
Well, no. Yeah, I guess. But I knew how awful I did. Then I didn't want to go to the callback if they called me back after being that awful. Like, I discredited their group, you know?
How dare they?
Yeah, why would they? What kind of terrible people would call me back? Anyway, I didn't get into that. But then I was taking this acting class, and a girl said, oh, yeah, my friend's putting this improv group together. You should audition. And I said, great. Then I did, and that was the Live Nude People with Clothes On Los Angeles. And then and then I got in. And
how many shows would you say you did with them?
Oh, them probably, I think I did 3 seasons, and each season was about 6 shows or so.
Okay, so that's about 18 shows.
Yeah, about that.
And then you did Sideline, or was that kind of like at the same time?
They were sort of overlapping, yeah.
How many Sideliner shows were there, maybe 10?
Probably 10, yeah, at the most.
And then did Sideliners more or less end?
Yes, Sideliners more or less ended.
Then what happened, like, after that?
Well, then I was living in Orange County, and I was really happy because there was a Dairy Queen near where I lived.
Who wouldn't be?
God,
ice cream anytime.
Oh, man. And I was also very sad because this girl I had an amazing first date with, first 3 weeks, literally disappeared. But she would later come to reveal herself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was so good. The first date, we bought my bed. Like, that was our first date. And before, we met on the internet. I have no guilt
There's
telling
so
you.
So much potential with this bed.
Yeah. So we met on the internet. We talked for 10 and a half hours on the phone. All right. And then the next day, we go on our date and we buy a bed. And, like, it was fun because
that's like an investment.
I know, right? Like, this relationship is going somewhere. Someday we're going to be on that bed. And I'm going to be, you know, and so. So we, and the people at the store are like, oh, so, you know, do you guys move around a lot when you sleep, or do you have problems with him or anything? And we're like, we don't even know each other. Anyway, it was great. She was great. And then she was getting her tonsils out, and she literally just disappeared. Mm. Just disappeared. And you can die from getting your tonsils. I mean, you shouldn't. That would mean you're weak. Like, you can.
Could happen, yeah.
And she lived in a gated community, so, like, I didn't want to go over. over, so I would craft emails and craft messages to leave on her phone. And thankfully, I only probably left 3 voicemails and probably only sent 3 emails, thankfully. But man, like, just, oh, everything was so great. So then in September of 2002, she finally signs online, mm-hmm. and I'm able to ask her. I've been waiting for 9 yes. months. She could have had a baby had we done it.
Right.
She could have had the baby, and I can finally ask her what happened, and I did, and she said, I don't know. And I said, okay, great.
Oh.
Yeah, we did all that, yeah. She was like, you should have come to my house and slapped me. I was like, you shouldn't have lived in a gated community where I felt I would have been arrested if I went to your house to slap you. Anyway, but she's nice. So then...
That sucks. How old was she?
18 or 19? 20? 19, 20? I mean, I was 20.
Young kids, it's like they don't make... It just doesn't make any sense, you know, like some of the times. It's it's like, what? Wait, that's... Like, you don't even understand what happened.
Yeah.
And then it's like... And then the resolution is just so, like, inexplicable and, like, frustrating. I'm sorry, man. That sucks.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. And,
that's right. What is that from? That's from
Semisonic.
Semisonic.
Closing time.
Oh, yeah.
So then a month after that, when I was going to Dairy Queen, then that's when I think it was Lindsay actually contacted me about how...
Lindsay Hendrickson?
Yeah, how okay. we were thinking of putting together a group and stuff. So then that's when I met you and Jacob and Nate and Shaggy.
That's right.
Well, I think I knew Shaggy a bit and Lindsay a bit too, but it was great. So we started Shmimprov, and me being the only person who didn't go to UCI...
Right, you were like...
...meant that I had no idea who they were talking about, because these 6 other people could not talk about anybody except people from UCI.
Mm-hmm. We'd, like, rehearse, quote-unquote, and then sit there and talk about all these people from UCI who you didn't know
I had no idea, but I can tell you lots of stories about...
You know a lot about
lots of
our
people.
UCI
Yeah, I know. It's like I know them.
It's like, you're going to improv with us, you got to know about everybody we know.
Yeah, it was a very...
You're not in the club, goddammit.
Yeah, it was... I was also... Everybody also hated me.
Hated you?
Yeah. You hated me too. Or you were,
I didn't hate
you. Were
you.
Nice.
I was just like, who's a new guy? I'm intimidated. Like,
yeah.
You know, it was more like that, I think.
Yeah, that's okay.
But we got to know each other. Eventually, you know.
I was the least funny out of everybody because...
I don't know about that.
So I would host whenever we did shows so that
were the host.
They would hide me, hide my poor improv playing abilities.
I liked when you did the hosting and you started out, they're like one of the first few times you hosted, I remember you did it behind a desk.
Yeah, I sure did.
You were like Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah. Hey, if you're ever doing an improv show, don't host it from behind a desk if it's live show. Why? Because it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It just doesn't work. Drew Carey sits behind it on Whose Line Is It Anyway? That doesn't count.
And that's weird, too, because his back is to the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, what?
He's lost a lot of weight.
Has he?
Yes.
Well, that's good for him.
It is good for him.
Yeah, he must be clocking the bitches these days.
He must be
doing that. Is he married? I don't know. Probably.
I don't, maybe.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Funny man, sexy, thin, trim, attractive. I mean...
He deserves a woman.
He deserves all the pussy.
Oh, okay. So we were doing shows. We were playing in the living room. It was like a big group of
friends
together, getting together to pretend. That's what we would do. We'd pretend.
We'd imagine. We'd practice. It was like practice. I mean, we'd even like it was constructive. Like we
talk absolutely.
About it. And I mean, sometimes we just laugh our asses off.
Yeah.
We tried some ventures that were
Laugh Kitchen
pretty much failures. But
Laugh Kitchen was not a failure.
It was a first step.
It was a first step on the road to success.
Yes, it was.
That was when we would find a friend's house who had a kitchen.
Yes.
Somebody would cook while the other people would play improv games, and then I would host, and then the losing team had to eat whatever they cooked.
Eat the shit that was cooked.
Yeah,
it was horrible.
Yeah, because the audience would bring food in, and they'd have to put all the food into one dish.
I think
we did 2 of those shows.
I don't know what we were thinking. We tried to make a cable access show out of it or something, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's kind of like what ended up not going so well, I think, is that set up the cameras and everything. And then we weren't used to being filmed, I think, was one thing.
But live and tape, live and film is very different, I think.
I mean, it was always fun, but it felt like it was more the failure of the equipment. The second time I remember we did it up in LA and they were like, oh man, I'm sorry you guys, we didn't get any of the audio.
Yeah.
was like, what? We spent like hours filming. We had an audience in someone's apartment.
Yeah. That was Shaggy's apartment, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, that was
I suppose the audio is moderately important.
And then, but you learn your lessons. I mean, you know, I think we finally realized, okay, eventually, maybe we would have tried it again. I don't know. But I think we were like, yeah, you know what? This isn't really the right direction, I think, for that group. We really needed to perform in front of audiences and get the energy that an energetic audience can provide, which was cool because we finally got that shot at the Block.
Yeah, well, that's what you and Nate were the ones who
I kind of heard about this theater there at the Block, the Maverick Theater. There was a dude that I went to college with. I think I was the only one who really knew him, Dave Herbelin.
Oh, okay.
And he was playing Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart in Amadeus there. I saw he was in the paper and he got a good write-up and everything. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go see that show. So I went and saw it and hung out afterwards. And that's where I met Brian Newell, who owns the Maverick. Now he's one of the owners of the Maverick. And then I was like, well, I got an improv group. I wonder if they might be interested in an improv show. And he said, yeah, we've got some people that are interested, and we've got like a stand-up night. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I don't know. And then, like, more or less Nate and maybe Jacob, I don't know, went in for the sell, you know. And I guess what Brian says that impressed him the most was that we had a DVD or like a videotape.
Really?
In the long run, he's like, oh, well, I wasn't really sure about these guys, but they had a video. So I was like, well, let's give them a shot. Which is interesting, you know. I mean, Brian's a very movie, film-oriented guy,
right.
So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like a calling card. I mean, if anybody's out there trying to sell their show, that's one way to do it, you know, create like a video package and get lucky.
Absolutely,
which I feel like we kind of did, you know, but maybe it was bound to happen. I mean, I feel like Brian kind of got lucky just getting the space there at the Block for the amount of time he did.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it didn't last forever. But
Puppy Store.
Yeah, Puppy Store invaded our world domination for a while.
You make a Puppy Store at a mall where you're not allowed having dogs. And that is all the logic you need to know why the theater
was
kicked
out. Everybody wants to go see the puppies.
But hey, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end, right? Semisonic?
That's right.
Yeah.
Closing time. I like that song.
I like that song a lot.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
On the Dildo Taters podcast. Shit, I almost said Dictators.
Man, I would be personally offended.
Yep. Hitler would be cool with it, though.
Would be fine, yeah. He'd be like, oh, cool. That's what he'd be like.
So we kind of went over, you know, the history mostly. Shmimprov has blown up since then in a lot of ways. You know, I felt very successful at the Block.
I mean, we were.
We had a lot of fun ways to bring the audience in. I remember we do stupid things in the window while people were walking. Because it was a mall, so there would always be people walking by. We do a dumb show.
Dumb show, I guess.
We called it. And while play was going on, they're like doing some serious play. I think in the beginning it was Rocky Horror.
Yeah, at the beginning.
But, you know.
Frankenstein. Yeah, they're doing. Superman.
Yeah, and we're.
Shakespeare. And we're out there. Someone's in the window.
We're in the window, not saying anything really, but just messing with people who are walking by. And then they would just come up like it was like a fishbowl.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would stare inside to see like what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And then we'd have someone outside being like, hey.
Porn slappers. We'd be slapping the postcards and giving them postcards.
That's right. And then we'd be selling our bodies.
What?
I mean, our improv skills for their enjoyment
for
later. For a whopping $5.
Yeah.
But it was a good tactic. And it brought people in, and it was really super popular, and we got a lot of our initial fan base there.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Puppy Store,
Puppy Store.
We were only there for like 20
year?
Shows or something.
Is that it?
Maybe 40, but it was it's a really small amount compared to how many we've done.
It seems like we were there for a long time, but you know, I don't know, it was a long time ago too. So Puppy Store came along. We had to leave the Block.
Went to the Chance Theater.
We went to the Chance in Anaheim
Hills.
They
were very, very nice and very gracious enough
to
give us their space.
They did, and we were there for maybe 6 months?
About that.
My roast was there.
Was
your roast there?
Nate's roast was there.
We did.
First three roasts.
That's right.
Whenever a player hits 100 shows, we roast them where all of us tell stories and make fun of them for an hour and a half, and it's exhilarating.
Those are fun. They're interesting. I mean, I don't feel like I'm a good roaster, which is why I don't roast people. Either that or I just feel guilty about it. I think one of the only people I roasted was Eric. I was like, oh, Eric can be a dick sometimes. I don't. I'll roast him.
I don't mind being a dick to him. That's fine.
I don't know. But and then I still feel bad about my roast. Aww. That I did. Mine was really mean.
You could but say nice things, though, you know? You don't always have to say mean things.
I guess you're right.
So it's because it's a tribute. So like, I know. You know.
But then the audience doesn't remember. They're like, they don't remember the nice things. They remember all the shit that, people bring up. And. Yeah.
But, I mean, lately I've just started trying to be honest with the people, which is,
Does that work for you?
Well, yeah, the members are so broken that if you're just honest, it's like you're automatically roasting them. So it's a, it's pretty easy. You just need to talk to them like you're having a real life conversation.
I remember I tried to take my roast in stride, like, and just kind of like I didn't know what was going to happen. But, you know, luckily there was nothing that I wasn't really comfortable with already.
Right. Exactly.
Like, I was like, yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all true. Pretty much. Like, what am I going to do about it?
Yeah,
like, and now everybody knows. And I was, it's so funny. I used to do like the Danny DeVito-esque impressions.
Yeah, you need to
and
do that more.
You guys like would make fun of me or copy that. Or
hey, Nix. Hey, how you doing, Nix?
But, you know, I really like Danny DeVito, and, like, I, you know, that's the only reason I would do that.
Yeah.
But, and I just thought it was just funny. And it's not, and I, my impression isn't even really an impression. Like, I would say it's not, him.
Every time you nail it.
It's me doing him as the Penguin in Batman Returns.
Yes, it
that's
is.
About it. Ah, my little babies. Put their rockets on their backs. Attack the world.
But it sounds so good.
But what was so freaking cool was I went home that night and they had a rerun of Saturday Night Live where Danny DeVito was the host from like,
oh yeah,
freaking like 70s or 80s or something, and it just blew my mind. Like, I was like, how, this is such a weird coincidence. So I don't know, it was just trippy. It was one of those things, it kind of blew me away, and I was just like, ugh. And luckily, I mean, I can't say every roast we've had people walk away real happy or whatever. I kind of walked away on a high, so I didn't really, it was, luckily it wasn't bad.
Not terrible,
And then it was just like euphoria, like I was like, what?
Yeah.
Danny DeVito hosted SNL back in the day, and oh my god, it was so freaking cool.
Now what Nick's not telling you is that he would do the Danny DeVito character because we made him. We also played this game called Authors, and we played it frequently so that he could be Tolkien.
Sometimes it was successful, sometimes not.
Oh, it was always successful in our opinion. Like the thing, Nick is so nice; he will not say no, and even when when he has nothing, he'll still offer you everything. And
I try to be a giving person.
So we took advantage of that by making him do all these things that we thought were funny, so that while we're making the audience laugh, we're also laughing. And, in case you're ever wondering why you did Danny DeVito so much and why we knew you did it,
it's because
we tricked you into it. Yeah.
Someday, I hope someday I'm lucky enough to actually meet the guy. Like, I mean, like, even if it's for a passing second, like, that would be so cool. Like, he seems like one of those people that wouldn't have a big deal to, like, meet common people. He doesn't seem like a, too much. He's kind of like one of the cooler celebs that'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll say hi to people, whatever. Do you know he goes to Coachella, apparently, and, like, rocks out and freaking... I probably, who knows what, gets all happy and dances around. There's like video of him on like YouTube at a rave.
Funny.
It's like,
it's weird.
Amazing. All right. Well, that's the Danny DeVito talk.
Yes,
there.
Thank you. Maybe we'll call it the Danny Dildo Tater.
Hey, there we go.
Danny Dildo Tater Show.
Danny Dildo Tater Show.
Show.
All right. So yeah, I mean, I guess we went to the chance. And then we had a break after that,
took a 2 or 3 months, I think, I want to say.
But it was only to build the new Maverick.
Yes, while we were waiting for the new Maverick to be finished, and then we moved right into there.
We moved right into there, and the rest is history, as they say, ladies and gentlemen.
We are writing history every day.
But we've been there for 5 years?
Almost six, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's crazy. And Shmimprov has, like, evolved and grown. I kind of took a break for a while, for sure. Like, I didn't do... There was, like, a year or two where I did very few shows. But you and Nate have always been, like, I want to say the staples. Like, you've always kind of been there doing shows, making sure everything keeps going. And, I, you know, I kind of took a step back. I was like, oh, there's like, a lot of young guys and girls and whatnot. They want to do improv. Like, give them a chance to go up. But, I mean, we've had a lot of cool, fresh blood come in.
Yeah.
Some has lasted, some has not,
some
you know.
Some has lasted, some has left.
Some has left.
Some has gone left bad, for... bad blood.
A little bit, but not too bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Now we do the Improv Idol that we have people audition in front of an audience, basically. I mean, you guys do an audition before that.
Yeah.
But then the people who pass, basically, it's like test by fire.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, we pick the 10 people who we'd be happy with being in the group based mm-hmm. on the audition, and then we put them up in front of an audience and see how they do.
Sink or swim, bitches.
Sink or swim. Yeah. It's be funny or bust.
Yeah.
That's what you'd say on the sign if you were hitchhiking.
And, of course, you know, we're always open to go out and perform for your grandparents, your kids.
Yeah. Do you remember?
We can be clean.
Do you remember when we did Leah's birthday?
I do remember.
Yeah.
We had, like...
That was our first outdoor event.
The Schmoopies.
Schmoopies, yeah.
The Schmoopies were our original fans.
I don't know who our original Schmoopies were, because I think Kelly Etter and...
Well, yeah, they will claim
Vicky
to be the...
Sky will...
But Leah was one of them, I think.
I mean,
she came in
from the ground floor. From the ground.
She was there at the block when we were there. I mean, she was 10.
Yeah, it's so weird, huh?
It is totally weird.
Geez.
That was like her first exposure to us, and then Kelly and Vicky have moved on, and you know, they have their own lives now. But like Leah, she's been a fan all along. But then she's really involved with theater, and she does shows, not improv shows, but she does theater with us sometimes. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, and she's actually a good little actress. And it's so weird that, you know, people stay around. You know, they come from audience, and then they become part of us. That's crazy.
Yeah,
but good luck doing that, because. No promises. Some people just sink. No. But it's pretty cool. It's cool to be a part of something that's been around for so long, and I'm glad for my sake that you guys weren't like all, oh, Nick, yeah, you know, you have to re-audition. Or
oh, of course, like, not. Of course, we're not going to let a co-founder, I mean... If I have to go away on vacation, if I have to go on vacation for a month, I don't want to have to re-audition when I get back.
I know, but you know, it's like one of those things where I'm like, if I had to re-audition, let's say I had to do Shrimp Revital, I probably wouldn't make it.
I know.
I don't think I would.
I don't think I would either.
Part of it too is I think you got to have like a following already.
You
bring them to the Shrimp Revital and they help vote you in and they cheer for you and that kind of thing. I mean, how it works.
But at the same time,
you can still make it though, but you have to be talented.
Yeah.
You have to have the talent with you.
We do have final veto, so if somebody's terrible, you know, no matter how many votes they get.
Fuck them.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not getting in.
Take them out back and shoot them.
That's happened, though, hasn't it?
We've shot people?
No.
Oh.
Well, on that one.
But, yeah.
But no, have you guys had to veto anybody? I mean, I'm not going to say that.
I don't think so.
No, okay.
No.
But I mean, it makes sense that you would need to have that power.
No.
It's just like running a government.
Yeah.
You know, there needs to be some level of control.
Well, and anything, I mean, the voting is ranked, too, so that, you know, our votes, Shmimprov members, are worth way more than the audience votes.
Right.
So, you know, they can't just bring people and expect to get in, you know, so.
Yeah. It seems like an exciting time right now, and we've got a lot of good people in the group and a lot of motivated people. It's amazing. We sell out, like, every night.
Yeah,
like,
that's great.
That's what's, like, so cool. I mean, I don't know how it works. I mean, I know we did some Facebook ads for a while, but I don't think we do that anymore.
Nope.
I think getting the
outdated website.
It feels like it's a lot of college students that come.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe even a little bit young sometimes.
College,
like,
late high school.
Late high school years sometimes.
Yeah.
It just must be word of mouth. I mean, we've been around for so long.
Yeah, well, I mean, so many of the people are the same, you know, because...
And
they don't necessarily come every week, but, you know, once a month or something like that.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's like a TV show. It's got the same people in it, but it's different.
Next month, we do March Madness, kind of like our inner competition as the month goes on.
And March 4th, the first Friday, we pick teams of two, and then you are with that person till the end of March as we play tournament style. And if you lose, you're out.
It's like a short-term marriage.
Yeah, like a short-term marriage.
Only life would be like that sometimes.
Only life would be like that, yeah.
Depending on how good it goes, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, each team kind of has their own sort of, once they go along, they have, like, a theme, and they do intros.
Yeah, that's the big thing is...
crazier every time around.
These monster intros that each team does.
There's a lot of pressure.
It is quite thorough, you could say.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure.
Are you doing
that.
March Madness this year?
I don't know.
Come on. Come on.
I will.
Come on, everybody listening. Nick.
Need to do it.
Nick. Nick. Who's with me? Nick.
No. No, I would do it. Nate just said he said something to the effect that he thought there might be too many people or something like that this time around. So I was like, well, I don't think I've ever done it, so it'd be cool to do, and I'm totally game to do it this year because I'm not doing really any plays or theater or...
No?
Not right now.
Oh.
So I'm like, oh, sure, I can do it. Well, I have a lot of projects on my plate, too, so it might be
might
okay
forego,
if I...
Yeah. Host the,
it's
host
up to him.
One.
Like, if he puts me on the roster, I'm in, so...
Gotcha.
Not that I'm going to last very long.
See, this is what Nick is. This is how nice he is. He has stuff to do, but if he needs to do it, he'll do it. And if he doesn't do it, that's fine.
He will do everything. I have really selfish shit that I want to do.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, there's this, which is the podcast.
Yeah.
And then, which is sort of like something that just kind of, I was like, God, this sounds like fun. Let's try it.
Yeah.
And then like a one-man show that I'm trying to write and put, which is a pretty big task, but I'm taking it in bite-sized chunks.
That's good.
As every week goes on. So like I sort of set a deadline for myself, but at the same time, I'm not going to kill myself since I work like 40 hours a week and whatever else I have to do.
I'm glad to hear you're not going to kill yourself.
Well,
I know that's an option you have, but I'm glad that you select living.
The world sighs a breath of relief.
Yes.
And then, fuck, man, I want to make a movie, too. That would be a big undertaking. Obviously, it would be very economy-sized. I'm not getting any younger. Like,
nope.
Do this stuff now. And not, don't wait, because then if I wait, then I'll never do it. But, yeah, March Madness can fit in there, too.
Yeah, well, it would be fun. Just jam it all in there.
Why not?
Get her in there.
That's how...
Come on, boys.
That's how babies are made.
That's how babies are made when you jam her in there.
Jam it in!
Yeah.
Make it fit.
Make it
fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Thanks, Johnny Cochran, Danny DeVito.
So there's March Madness, and then after that we have like kind of summertime, is more shows.
Yep.
And then
fairly regular shows, and then we do Schmocktoberfest
near the end of the year, right?
Yes.
So these are like the regular things we do, and Schmocktoberfest is like theme shows.
Oh, there's
it kind of changes every year.
Yeah.
There's a murder show where a player dies as time goes on.
Exactly. Well, last year we did somebody, whoever got picked, they got to kill somebody during the scene.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was totally fun. I had a great time doing it. And it was fun because I lasted and I wanted to last. You and me were one of the last three.
Yeah, you actually...
Look,
I was in six scenes. I was the murderer in five.
I know.
The only one I wasn't the murderer, you were the murderer. You killed somebody else, thankfully.
I was like, I'm not going to kill Jamie, dude. He's like a Schmimprov original.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill one of the new guys.
Yeah, and then I killed you in the next scene.
That's all right.
But, like, out of kindness. Fun. Like, I didn't want to. You know, I had to. The burden of being a killer.
Like, yeah, it's like when you see an injured animal. And there's no way they're going to yes, they're not going to make it. You just, like, let's put them to rest.
Put them to rest.
Put them out of the misery.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was like, well, Nick's like an injured animal.
It's
I'm
like
just
Bambi, just sitting there dying. Yeah.
I don't think they actually put Bambi to rest, Nick. I think you're...
You saw a different version than I saw.
Sadly, yeah. Well, that explains a lot of things.
Yeah.
We do, what else do we do? Sometimes prop night, where every scene is props.
Prop shows are pretty fun.
Choose your own adventure, where the audience gets to pick what we do next. Backwards show.
Oh, backwards show. Backwards show. I think I did that, too, last year. That was fun.
It's lots of fun. We take games. We do everything in regular English.
From backwards
to... We start with a boot camp, and then we announce the winners, and then, you know, we... Yeah, it's lots of fun.
And then the Schmimprovathon.
Yep.
Can't forget that.
Yeah, we do that. That's eight hours
of Schmimprov glory.
Yes, all glory, especially at 4 a.m. That's when the real glory's out.
I did something this year during Schmimprovathon that I'd been wanting to do for years, which is I went home They started the Shmimprovathon. I came in at like three or four in the morning and jumped in.
Yeah.
And I got coffee. I was like, oh, this is going to be great because I'm going to have all kinds of energy and like they're going to be all tired. But what's funny is that I think I had too much energy for the audience even. And the audience was just like annoyed by me.
Why is this guy so awake?
What's up, motherfuckers?
Yeah.
It's 4 a.m. in the morning. And I was like bouncing on. And the audience was just like...
Why isn't he asleep like we are?
I still had fun. Like after I was like, after a while, I was like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have had so much coffee.
Maybe you should have brought some for other people. Maybe that would've...
I brought donuts.
Oh, donut. Well, it's an interesting thing how it starts off very well, and like mm-hmm. a first hour or two are great, and then you know, like it slowly degrades until about like 4 to 5 a.m. when man, it's it doesn't look like improv anymore.
It gets pretty dead.
We had 55 people or 60 or something like that who stayed for all 8 hours, and that is amazing.
It was epic.
That's one thing I'm so I always feel so fortunate about having such a great audience, you know, who cares and who comes and every week. It's phenomenal.
All right, well, we've talked Shmimprov like crazy here. Let's go into the clip section.
Yeah, great.
One of the weird things that people don't understand is we have rehearsals.
We need to.
We have to. Which you're like, improv? You can't rehearse improv, then it's not improv. Well, first of all, you have to warm up, right?
Yeah.
Get your improv juices flowing, so to speak, and kind of get an idea of what you're going to do during the show. Now, it's not necessarily, I'm going to play this character in this scene. I mean, it could be that specific, maybe, if that's the way you improv, and then it does get a little bit, you're like, that isn't improv, really. But it is informative to know what games you're going to be playing and to, like, basically learn the tricks to them and kind of freshen up on what works in that game, what doesn't.
Well, that's it. All the games have rules that you need to follow, and everyone needs to be on the same page. If you don't, it's just not that great.
Yeah, so, and it's nice. I mean, that's why we have rehearsals, and that's why we hope everybody can be there for rehearsals.
They can't.
Which doesn't always happen.
We also have a psychic on the team, and the psychic tells us what the audience is going to yell out for suggestions during the show, and then we just practice doing all the suggestions in rehearsal. Oh no, I just revealed the secret.
No, not that secret. What's funny about you saying that, I remember, I think it was a couple weeks ago I hosted, it was at that one with tons of characters in it.
Yeah.
What was it, 40 to 60 characters or something?
Yeah.
And I remember during rehearsal, the suggestion was like a nursing home. I was trying to get a suggestion from the audience, which is difficult sometimes, or a lot of times.
Dildo.
Dildo. Penis.
Dinosaur.
Vagina brain.
Gynecologist office. Having an abortion.
And then we're trying to get the suggestion, and this girl who I think I know just from seeing her after the show or something was like, nursing home, and I was like, oh, that's a really good suggestion, but I can't take it. And I'm sure she was like maybe bewildered why I said that. I was so like, a good suggestion, shit. Like, I mean, I'm sure the improvers would have been fine with it, but I wanted to give them something different.
Something new, yeah.
Unfortunately, we ended up with Taco Bell, which I don't know, that's an okay suggestion, I guess, for an improv.
Oh, that
game,
was the one where they opened the gates to hell.
That
was very funny.
Okay, so you enjoyed it.
I was filming that one.
Okay, all right, good. Well, at least from your perspective,
it was very funny.
I just remember it felt like it went way better in rehearsal than it did when we did it there. But you know, if you don't see the rehearsal,
that's what happens.
Or the practice.
Oftentimes, rehearsal will go so well,
and then you're just like,
I wish the audience was here, and then the show's bad. I mean, sometimes the show's even better than that rehearsal too. So.
This is something we do to actually kind of warm up, basically. Yeah. We do warm-ups that aren't really games.
Yeah, just to kind of get everyone thinking. One of them is we tell knock-knock jokes or any other type of joke one word at a time. They're all gold, by the way.
Like, they're comedy gold.
Yeah.
We always joke. We're like, we need to write these down because these are so funny.
Yeah.
Now that I've started recording them, I'm like, oh, I don't know. They're just funny at the time.
Well, you had to be there is entirely applicable to any joke we tell at rehearsal.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So this is us standing in a circle.
Knock, knock. Who's there? It's raining. It's raining. Who? It's raining. Men.
So that one kind of made sense, actually, which isn't usual.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Our knock jokes are epic, usually. Now, we were actually rehearsing with a different improv group because we had a challenge match that night. So some of these clips actually are from that epic show, which actually turned out to be a really good show. Some of these people you're listening to aren't actually schmimprovers, I should say. Like I said, they're not really funny.
No, they're not even jokes.
And they're not jokes, but, you know, it kind of gets us warmed up. Absolutely. And in the mood for joking around.
Yeah.
All right. We could go right into one-liners. What do you think?
Yeah, sure.
This is from the show that night. So that was our rehearsal. And then here is a clip from the show, which is probably three quarters of the way done at this point.
All right. This is picking up lines for Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. My dick is as tall as your hat.
If all goes well, I'll be shooting you in the back.
That's Craig again. What I love about Jamie is that he will go up at the beginning of a game, whether he really has a joke or not, just to keep the momentum going and not let there be any dead time, you know? I mean, that's a very important thing, I think, because it helps the other improvers, gives them time to think of something, and gives the audience something to watch or listen to. It keeps them from being bored, at least, I would say.
Yeah.
You know?
Incidentally, that last one, I was telling Abraham, I was hitting on Abraham Lincoln. That's why my dick was as tall as his hat. It's a big hat, by the way.
It's good to clarify that.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's see what else we have.
I would like to score you four times.
Bushy beard.
More like Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. That was a good one, Jamie.
Abraham Lincoln.
More like Abraham Lincoln inside you.
You can play with my Lincoln log.
This is gossip column. This is gossip column for Katy Perry.
I heard that Katy Perry married Russell Brand recently.
So it's pretty funny. I think we were rehearsing. We're like, you know, the first one,
yeah, should be real.
It should be real. It doesn't have to be funny or anything. Greg's like, oh, wait a second.
Oh, good. That's why we rehearse, so that we can forget everything.
I heard that Katy Perry thought that fireworks were brighter than the moon.
They're not.
She sucks.
I heard Katy Perry could be really hot and cold.
I heard Katy Perry's just a slutty Zoe Deschanel.
Sarah Palin.
I heard that they're actually going to send Sarah Palin. She's going to be the first person to land on the sun. I heard that Sarah was paling out the cum.
That was, I want to say that Sarah was paling out the cum. That's a Patrick Hine joke.
Oh, really?
Yes, from years ago that I like to, you know, use whenever Sarah Palin comes up because, you know, people love thinking about paling out. That's from the dick as big as Abraham Lincoln's hat. Okay. I'm so proud.
It's all right. Hey, yeah, we forgot to mention this is like, I don't know, PG-13 rated R sometimes.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Sometimes, I guess.
We'll have to, like, re-record a disclaimer and put it at the front.
Probably.
I guess so. Yeah. All right.
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Let's keep going.
I actually heard that they moved Russia onto a
Russian guys.
So that bewildered anybody in the audience, I think, that doesn't know much about porn.
Oh, because that's what that was from.
There's like
I was wondering.
Yeah, yeah. I guess there's a porn that's called Nailin Palin.
Palin out the cum. Oh, no.
Well, there's probably that, too. No, Nailin Palin, I think. And I believe one of the scenes must be
two Russian
just from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Two Russian guys.
And, yeah.
Which it's kind of funny.
I'm sure Greg just heard that, too.
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Porno version. That girl watches it.
There you go, Jamie.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, let's move on to Yo Mama. This is going to be Yo Mama. Yo Mama is Duke Nukem.
Yo Mama's like Duke Nukem. I played him back in 95 when I was 13.
That was pretty good,
Some
actually.
Quick math there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yo Mama's like Duke Nukem. I was machine gunning her. She plays me.
Oh. Because I first person shot on her face.
It's really graphic.
Better put a couple of those warnings in.
Oh,
that was funny.
Your mom was like Duke Nukem, but I mixed it up and she was Duke Nukem.
Getting all gangsta.
Yeah, all gangsta.
It gets pretty, like, dicey during Yo Mama. When you say.
Yeah, I mean, it's on. That's why we do it at challenge shows, so that if we hate the other group, that's okay. But normally, you know, try not to play it against one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get up there, it get tense.
Yeah. You know? Gets real.
It's a jet plane!
Yo Mama's like a jet plane! And I fill her up with rocket fuel!
All right, that's where it ends there.
Yeah, it was funny.
For some reason, that show just turned out to be a really funny show.
Yeah. Well, the guys we were playing against come to Shwimprov a lot, and they're funny guys that have been in other groups and stuff.
They know the show, and they know what works, I think. What else do I have here? Oh, I've got Cuties O.
Yeah. Is that the one when we were in Rome?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
What was the name of the other improv group? It's Off in the
Off
Corner?
In the corner,
Off in the Corner.
Well, let's explain. Cuties O, first of all, these are, at the end of the show, oftentimes we play Game-O-Matic.
That's good, yeah.
Where we take initials from the audience and we make up games. So the initials were C-O. So C-O. So someone came up with Cuties O, where there are men in ancient Rome walking around and they see some cuties and they have to woo them. And there's three cuties. Whoever ends up with the most cuties at the end of the game wins.
Exactly.
Then Funny Elves was elves who need to perform stand-up.
Yes. They're
so
doing
like an open mic.
Open mic night at the North Pole.
At the North Pole. What other ones have you got there?
We have Bucket of Mono, which was from the show last week, which went really well. And then the two games Jamie's not wasn't too happy with, which was one of them was a Game-O-Matic that Patrick came up with called Knife Van.
Yeah, sounds a lot better than it is. Trust. If you're thinking to yourself, "Oh man, it's too bad I didn't get to hear Knife Van," don't. It sounds a lot better.
I don't know. Like, I mean. It felt bad when we were doing it, I have to admit.
It felt terrible when we were doing it.
But listening to it, which I did today, I listened to the clip, and obviously I didn't see it. I mean, there's laughter throughout the whole thing.
I doubt it.
There is. I mean, it definitely wasn't, like, epically funny at all, per se.
Just
but
taking your word for it.
I was happy with what we did with it, only because I was like, I'm not going to know, like, half of these movies in the first place, which I knew maybe half of them. Like,
I only know the Bueller.
Which I'm glad you had that much. Jamie just kept going, Bueller, Bueller.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a very intricate performer. Well, you know, why don't we play Knife Van?
Are you sure? We don't need to.
Just if you've been listening this long,
you only have a certain amount of time left, we could go. I know Bucket of Mono was really pretty funny.
Yeah, why don't we do Knife Van, telling them that we're going
to
Bucket
of Mono.
Because this Bucket of Mono was very funny, and there's no video recording of it. This is the only recording. It is very funny. So so get through Knife Van, and then stick around for Bucket of Mono.
Okay, so we're going to play Knife Van. Since the players come up with these on the spot, I actually have the recording of...
The explanation?
Of Patrick coming up with it on the spot.
Oh,
so,
that's fun.
My game is called Knife Van.
Doesn't get better than that thorough scene work.
Well, we've got to build. We've got a long way to go. So, you know, we're just started at the, like, low spot.
Yeah. Going,
And progressively get
sure,
more
Nick.
Amazing.
Sure.
I need to go.
Yeah, get to
I
class.
Think I should leave and still take my dad's car for a ride.
Going to class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
You need to go
machete!
That was the Knife Van.
That was the Knife Van.
That's when the Knife Van came on.
Creeping in.
Creeping in.
Hey, Professor!
Bueller.
The next movie will be Finding Nemo.
I don't know where my son is.
Ooh, that's too bad. We better need him.
Now, all of that is straight from the movie, right?
All of that is straight to the... I need a way to check inside your belly.
Oh. Like I said, I don't know this movie at all.
That was when the dad actually got hit by the Knife Van, knives inside of it. So.
I like that Patrick added his own new rule to the game that every knifing has to be a different type of knife.
Yes.
I don't think that was in the
original
setup.
And announced.
Yes. Swiss Army! Machete!
Oh, jeez.
Butter knife!
Yeah. Rain Man!
Why did that get a gross? Like, oh, no, they don't want to see that. That's just not going to be right. Nick and Jamie did not do that movie justice. The audience is like, fuck you guys.
All right, now, Raymond.
Kitchen knife!
Oh, Raymond! How are we going to win all that money? White girls, real white chicks.
Again, another movie that I know extensively.
I have never seen White Chicks, thankfully. Don't know why we had to do White Chicks.
Well, because somebody in the audience thought of it, apparently.
Still.
Yeah, well, this is where it goes downhill, for sure.
if it was uphill before that.
Oh,
I'm desperately trying to remember what songs were in that movie.
Yeah, like, so was I.
I saw it once.
It's good. You should watch it again.
It is a good movie, but yeah, I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
It's my song?
Yeah, I wrote it all for you.
You're so pretty, Ewan McGregor.
Thank you, Nicole Kidman.
And you sing so well.
We could be heroes.
Now, let's just say, Patrick should have fucking come
in. He should have come in.
Killed us like that. Motherfucker, let us go on for that long.
Now, I know it sounds like on stage we're probably just lying on the ground rolling over one another while we scream and nothing makes sense, but we were moving slightly.
We were moving a little bit. Yeah. But no, I mean, at that point, Patrick should have just come in and killed us. I don't know why I let it go. Patrick's like, I got to think of another knife. I've run out of knives. See, he ran out of knives.
Yeah,
sharp.
We waited that long for something sharp.
And finally, the night band will show up in Jurassic Park.
You see, the dinosaur was not supposed to become into being again. It was a kid for a reason. It's not.
But I brought it back.
I should have been like Sean Connery. It totally sounds like him.
Yeah. He's in that movie, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You're right. He plays a stegosaurus.
Yeah. Dinosaurs back.
How can you possibly ethically limit yourself in this kind of situation? I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. It wasn't meant to be. I mean, this could. They were extinct. There's a reason they were extinct.
Oh, because they died by accident. Welcome to the knife van.
So that one kind of had a weak ending.
That one had a... We'll and then they played a song for Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
I was made for loving you, baby.
And then they have that Jurassic Park music, too. Why didn't they play Jurassic Park music?
Well, they play that every other show.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's overplayed, I guess. Yeah,
that was Knife Van. Hope you're all smiling and happy.
Everybody loves Knife Van.
Everybody loves Knife Van.
By the way, that clock is 10. Well, you have a clock.
I know,
there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the end there, I was kind of like, who's going to end this one? Like, because I was waiting
God
for Patrick.
God should have ended it. God should have just come down and stopped it all.
Waiting for Patrick to do it, and then in listening to the clip, it sounded like you were going to end it for a second, maybe. What you can't hear in the clip is, I don't know if anybody else did anything, because you can't see sometimes the other improvers, but like I came up behind Patrick and did like the like,
yeah, I remember that
thing,
yeah.
Whatever Velociraptor or
no
it's like, one of the lesser ones,
yeah.
Right, and that ended the game, but there was no music cue, so no. Like you don't even hear a really clean cut in the clip.
But just you can tell based on the amazing precision of the game prior to that,
yeah.
That everything was the well-oiled machine that it normally is.
I still had a great time that show. Like,
yeah,
it was fun. It was overall good. So this is Bucket of Mono. I think I have Nate in here explaining it.
All right. Are they all ants?
than you guys thought. They were the newspaper to launch their monologue. That's why it's not a bucket of mono, except we don't have a bucket. It's a floor of mono. Don't kiss that floor.
That's me, by the way, just in case you don't.
That's Nick written
that's
by
Nick.
Reading something written by an audience member.
The
who...
first line, which I was actually very happy that it was like a Star Wars reference. I was just like, oh, yeah. Not that I really went on the Star Wars path, but it just kind of made me happy. And I was like, yes, this is a good way to start a show.
Yeah, it was.
I know you're all sitting there trying to comprehend the death of this one here, Vladimir the Goldfish right here. To the deliciousness of their Ewok. Alright? And this is all about the analogy of life and death, ladies and gentlemen. This here goldfish, Vladimir, right here, died for our sins. Alright? Unlike the Ewok, who died because they are hasty. Rejoice, ladies and gentlemen. Pay homage, ladies and gentlemen, for after this funeral will be the feast of the Ewok.
One thing I was trying to do in that speech, what we try to do in Bucket of Mono, is create the atmosphere of what's going on and try to endow other characters that might possibly be there, just to give other improvers ideas of, you know.
I talked about you and Ewoks.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The good thing to do is echo back to other stuff that previous people have said. So the next one is Patrick, I think, here. If you think about it, he probably is the whatever the fuck you are. That was like a pure Patrick.
So
outro.
Funny. Patrick, by the way, who has a degree in history and then a master's in business and was eulogizing.
Eulogizing.
Yeah. Smart man. Go Power Rangers.
Go. All right. Into the Jamie Shield.
Okay. I was just trying to help jack off the horse. I jacked off the horse a little too hard. The salinity content of the water went way high when that
giant sploosh of baby horse tadpoles. Vladimir's gills weren't quite equipped to process semen. And I'm sorry. I get it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You came all the way here from the moon.
And Vladimir was some Christ-like fish. And horse jizz killed me. You left it out. Know that the horse also left the orgasm out. Sadly, all over blood.
Jamie, that was very funny.
That's
very filthy, but very funny.
I was just trying to jack off the horse, trying to help jack off the horse.
I think we couldn't end on a better note than that clip, I think. There's three more monologues. Actually, I think that pretty much covers it. I mean, we don't need to listen to the other 4 minutes of it. They're good, though, actually.
Yeah, it was fun.
But anyway, that's kind of a bucket of mono. Bucket of Monos is really cool. We don't play it that much. It's a lot of fun. You really get to create whatever you want to create in that game. I feel like our monologues went longer than they probably should have.
Yes.
But they were pretty funny. I don't know. It's nice to have a clean, fast show, but sometimes it gets around of having a really fun show too, so it's kind of a hard balance.
Yeah, it's tough striking the balance, but you know, oftentimes you know, a lot of the games will go good, fast, and tight, and then the other ones will a little bit more fun factor in them.
Exactly. Well, I want to thank you tremendously for coming in.
Well, I want to thank you for having me here at the Ambassador Inn.
We'll have to do it again, and hopefully there'll be more of these. We'll see. You know, it's kind of cool to, like, at least someday we can look back at this. And
yeah, no, it was fun. I hope everyone listened and enjoyed it.
Yeah, of course. So, in case you don't know, Improv Schmimprov, you can find out more about it online at improvschmimprov.com. That's www.improvschmimprov.com.
We have Facebook.
We have Facebook, Improv Schmimprov Facebook page. What else do we have? Do we have a hotline?
No.
I'm on Facebook, too, I guess. Jamie's on Facebook. What else? We have shows coming up, March Madness shows next month.
Yeah, we also, starting in April on the first Saturday of every month, we're going to be doing the All Puppet Players are going to
play
against Schmimprov.
That was totally sweet. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that.
Yeah.
If I ever get Nate on, maybe he can.
Yeah, I was trying to confirm it, and Nate took a long time to text me.
So the All Puppet Players are doing, this is really cool because we have Nate, who's now doing puppetry with the All Puppet Players, invited them to do a show last weekend. And so him, Sean McNamara, and
others
from that show, they did an entire show with Improv Schmimprov Players versus the All Puppet Players. So just the puppets themselves are just really cool.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, two Ambers.
You hosted that, right?
No, I played. Drew hosted.
Okay.
Me, Amber, and Dave against Sean, Nate, and Amber's puppets, Hamlet, and
awesome.
Some other ones.
That's really awesome. And then they're talking about making it a regular thing.
Yeah, going to do it on the first Saturday of every month. Most months, not March and not June.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
When I heard that, I was like, that just makes a lot of sense. I mean, getting to do improv in a way different way could be a really cool selling point. It's just unique, you know.
Yeah.
Who the hell does that? I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Not a whole lot of people.
We're signing out now. This has been the Dildo Tater podcast.
Yeah, there we go. Nailed it.
For this week, I'm Nick McGee.
I'm Jamie Shue.
All right. Keep your dildo taters warm. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Schmimcast. Remember, for the latest episodes of Schmimcast, please visit www.schmimcast.com. You can email us at schmimcast@aol.com and hit us up on Twitter at Schmimcast. It's SHMIMCAST. That's twitter.com/schmimcast. And now, the show must go. So the show is over.